Session number 12325, René Kisray, Reel 4.
Reel 4. So you misled them with the information?
Yes, with Major Ashraf was with me, Major Russell and myself. And I was doing all the trick, you know, because I spoke Italian, speak Arabic. And I made arrangements with the Arab man. Told them, you know what is, you are expecting. You must be shot. Because you are, told me I have been just married. I told, look, if you will help us, we could manage to bring your wife with you and stay with us. It's how I managed to convince him to do this thing. Then every day, when I learned his style, I used to send myself. I used to make the thing, and the sergeant was with his, we used to go every morning in the same place, with the same spot, with the same set, sending what I used to say. As I told you, troops are there, they were the other side. Same night, bombing, and we call that deceiving mission.
Did you make up this information yourself?
Oh, yes, of course.
It was your responsibility.
Not only myself, only Russell with me, and a certain squadron leader, Johnston, came on purpose from London, and he used to speak French and Italian like me. We used to concoct all three together what we should say this time. And following what Johnson was receiving from the army headquarters, that they want to move this or to move that, once we made the arrangement what we wanted to say, I used to make with the language of the Arab, the same Arab, you know, the same style. The sergeant said them. It was wonderful. It has a very big success.
Yes, did they not begin to get suspicious that a lot of these targets weren't there when they went to bomb or what have you? Did they ever become suspicious?
Don't think so, no. And we know from Cairo, they told us it was successful. I don't know the details. I don't know what happened. But we knew that it has been successful. Then a few days later, you know, the sergeant was with me. I told you, was with me behind the lines that first time. I left him in Cairo. We received news at Tripoli that Lieutenant Lyle Smythe, the chap I saw on the plane when I was coming back from Siwa, who told me, and Sergeant, the WT, were caught behind the lines in south of Tunisia and executed. Could I go and find out? From Tripoli, I went first to Sfax, which is south of Tunisia. At Sfax, the German have left Sfax at that time. I found papers were not turned completely in Italian, when they said that the two British have been caught and followed the Italian army north. Followed the army north, but had not been executed. We were not sure. Then the army, yes, the German and Italian retreated. And when we are at Sfax, we have been told that they heard that two British officers have been shot at Vidaville by German, you know, fighting squad. Then I wanted to see if it was my friends. Then I had with me a Scot driver with a small car and myself alone. And when I was in Sfax, the Sheikh of Sfax was a very, 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 very good friend of mine before the war. His father was the mayor of Tunis. I knew him very, very well. It was a very good friend. When he saw me, he didn't know that I was in the British Army. Then I told him what he wanted. He put his secretary at my disposal, and little by little, we learned that two officers have been shot by the firing squad at Amphidaville. And little by little, we found out who could give us more information. I took two men with me. I bribed them with money to come with me to show me the place. When we arrived at Amphidaville, Amphidaville was absolutely bombed. No men, no living soul was there. All building down, you know. And the Germans were not far. The Germans were not very far. I saw an old man against a wall. I told him, what are you doing here? He told me, if I die, I die. I left all my family. Left, I am the only one here. Then at night, we waited until at night, with the two men and the pick to go. But one of the two men is one who make holes to put the officers. At night, they started, and suddenly it was terrible smell, horrible smell, really. The Arabs, I don't know if it was put up or it is true, they were absolutely uncomfortable and they were afraid of the German who were not far. Then I had to treat them with my revolver. If you don't carry on the job, I kill you. Then they carried on the job. And in fact, there was a man with his hands like this.
Behind his back.
It's very funny. His mashwara, his face looked like that of Sergeant Burton, but it wasn't him. I wasn't sure. I had to put my hand in all his pockets. It was horrible to see if I found something. I found nothing. Then I returned. I went to Tripoli back, and I make my report. I told them, it looked like, but I'm not sure. I saw a man with a hand tied behind. In the Arab told me that he was there when the German had shot them, but
how about the other man?
I didn't hear from him anymore.
Did you open the other grave?
Eh?
Did you open?
No. This chap no knew only one. That one might be they have done either before they killed him before or after, because one was an officer, other was sergeant. The German may have made a difference, I don't know. When I come back to Tripoli, I received a notice from Cairo. Tunisia is at the end to be taken. Follow, go to Tunis. Why, oh, my God, I haven't seen my family for 4 or 5 years. I was very happy. One of my sisters was married to a man who was living at Sfax. I went to see her house. Nobody said, oh, no, the old people have moved from the center of the city. They went to in a neighbor small village. I went to, at that time, I was wearing a Scotch hat, and nobody knew that they become an officer. They knew nothing. They heard nothing of me. I knocked the door, and my sister, she was frightened. She didn't know that. Who is that? I said, Rene. Huh? Rene. Brum! She fell down, opened the door. She woke up. She was very happy. But I had to proceed to go to Tunis on the way. Sfax itself, I was walking, I saw a woman, Arab woman with a thing, following me. I was intrigued. What is it? I went at a certain time in a small street, desert street. She followed me. Then I turned back. What do you want? Tu ne m'as pas reconnu? It's the same chap I saw at Kufra, you know? He was a man. He was the same chap who was working with us in London, in Cairo, with the SLD. Then we proceeded. I tell you, I remember we arrived at Gabès. When I arrived in Gabès, I was looking for a place where I could spend the night. They told me the best thing is to go to the school there. I arrived in school. I can't tell you the reception I had. Amongst the people there, two knew me before. Serene, Serene. I was like a hero. Everybody kissing me. It was terrible. Then I had a wonderful night. The following day, we went to Sfax. From Gabes, we went to Sfax. And that before Sfax. Gabes is before Sfax. And from Sfax, he carried on. At Sfax, before I left Sfax, my brother-in-law asked me permission to come with me to Tunis. He told me, I have my sister and my brother there, and it's very urgent. I told him it's very dangerous because the war is still on. He was very courageous. He told me, no, I want to come with you. At the same time, I had dinner with the family. There is a chap whose wife was in Tunis, and he was separated from her for years, in fact. He told me, I would like to come. All right. Then I took these two civilians with some mattresses inside of the lorry, and they came with me. At a certain time, near Medjaz al-Bab, I heard firing. It was Germans still fighting. Then I had to leave the road, cross the field with the olive trees, and they escaped from the other side. And we carried on until we arrived at a small place called Medjaz al-Bab, which is flooded with water. It was flooded with We carried on from Medjaz al-Bab. We arrived at Le Bardo. Le Bardo is the outskirts of Tunis. And La Manne Oubaï, Le Bardo. At Le Bardo, we heard that the Germans are escaping from Tunis. I arrived at 2 o'clock in the morning at Tunis. I went to my house. Nobody answered. It was dark. Then I went to my wife's mother's house. I didn't have the courage to go and see them. I said my driver was, he was a wonderful driver. I forgot his name now. He was a wonderful, very resourceful man. I told him, go and find out. 2 o'clock, he went, he knocked the door, nobody answered. Knocked the door, nobody answered. Then I went myself. I knocked the door, nobody answered, but I heard something. They were afraid if it was German or something. I heard. Then I shouted, c'est moi, René, c'est René. My wife fell down. Then I wanted to see my daughters. My youngest daughter, Annie, who must have been 6 years old or 5 years old, didn't recognize me at all. But my eldest daughter, with my sister in the center of the Tunis itself, I want to see her. I went, and I saw a grown girl, beautiful girl. She was very well. And I can't tell you, Tunis has been terrible. I couldn't walk in the street. Everybody kissing me, everybody. And when I arrived in Tunis, I reported to a certain Colonel Crawford. He was in charge of ISLD. He called me, told me, it's impossible you stay here. You are too popular, newspapers are talking about you. You must leave. I was desperate. I didn't want to leave. I just arrived. I want to stay with my family. Happily, the following day, he told me, you know, you have to wait until Captain Page is coming. He's taking over from me because I have been... Captain Page, he was full. I was very happy. Captain Page was my best friend since Tripoli. Lieutenant Colonel Bruce Lockhart, who was the head of ISLD branch, looking at Italy, went to see Macmillan, who was at that time, I don't know, with the general, I don't know. Lieutenant Colonel, yes. Lieutenant Colonel John Bruce Lockhart, who was the head of the Italy branch of ISLD, gave instruction to Captain Page that I should be in charge of getting in touch with the Italian communist, because he saw Mr. Macmillan, who was the political advisor to Eisenhower, and he obtained from Macmillan the permission to get in touch with the Italian communist for military purposes. Then Page told me, you are from Tunis, you see what you can do. I heard that my neighbor in front of my house at Radio Hollande, it was an Italian solicitor whose name was Gallico. His daughter married an Italian from Sardinia. And this Italian was the head of the Italian Communist Party. He was a famous communist leader. He was in Spain, he was in China. Then, through his wife, I was introduced to Spano. Spano was condemned to death by French people. But in spite of that, every night he used to go down the city and distribute some pamphlet against the French Pétainists and all these things. He was a very courageous man. I saw him. I talked with him. I told him, voilà, we have an arrangement with you. You helped me to get me Italian communist. I would send behind the German, the Italian lines, and we allow you to communicate through our WT with your people of the north. Then he agreed. We became very friendly, Spano and I. But in the meantime, we heard that one of my fuel, how do you call fuel? I knew his family for long. He was a communist. And I heard that he was taken by the German, taken to Algeria, and have been put some electric in his part, you know, to talk. He never talked. And Spano told me, he is my most precious collaborator. I want him to be saved. Then Captain Page told me, go to Algiers. Try to... When I arrived in Algiers, he had already left back to Tunis. I went back to Tunis, I saw him. Then since then, with Spano, we Spano, first of all, the first time, he gave me... I told you a very nice story. He gave me an Italian from Tunis who spoke French like a French boy. He was a very educated young man of 26 to 27, to go to the POW camp, who was about 100 kilometers south of Tunis. They knew that there were two Italian parachutists who left Italy in a German plane, and the plane has been attacked by the AKAK, anti-AKAK, you know. You know what is anti-AKAK, you know, and the aircraft. The German, frightened, obliged them to jump, not at the place where they should. They refused. They forced them, kicking their hands with hammer to lash and to be dropped. They have a hatred for the German and for the fascist, those two young people. We knew, that Spano told me, that they want to do anything against the Italian, against the German. Then with this young man he gave me, I told you, young man who speak French and educated. I disguised him as POW Italian, you know, with bad uniform. And we made arrangements. First of all, I went there, I saw the major, the camp major, you know, camp commandant of the... I told him, look, I am bringing a man here who is he's on our side. We want to pick up two young men. He told me, but you have to tell the sergeant major. No, we can't tell the sergeant. Nobody must know. Then he accepted. He wasn't happy about it. Then we arrived. Then this, my man, when I arrived, the first thing he did, Viva Mussolini! Hey! All the prisoners applauding him. And he was hit by the sergeant, British sergeant. Viva l'Italia! He was very, very popular with all the prisoners. And 2 days later, the major telephoned me. He told me, your Italian wants to see you. I went quick. Then what happened? My Italian did a lot of trouble, fought against other people to be taken away. Then the major, when I went there, the major called him. Then he told me that He told me the story, confirmed the story, and they are ready to come with us. Then we managed. I told him, all right, I will go now as you know, from time to time in POW camps, there is an officer, welfare officer, who must go to find out if the prisoners are well. And I told him, I am coming, like welfare officer, do something so you all three will be taken away. Then I arrived there as welfare officer. The sergeant major went with me. Hello! Everybody. I went from one to the others. And when I arrived to them, all three were sitting with a cigarette in, instead of being standing. I told the sergeant major, you bloody high time! Will you get up? Hello, officer! Yeah, I'm in a fisco, you know. Then I told them, it's not nice, you know. I came here for your welfare. Well, I don't care. Then the sergeant major called, take them away. It's what I wanted. They took away to the major. He was waiting. Then I talked to them both. They told me, we are ready to do everything you want. They confirmed what happened to them. But on condition, we don't do anything against the Italian. Fascist, yes, but not other Italian. I told them, it's all right. Well, from there, I took them with me in Tunis. We gave them some instruction, and they have been dropped by parachute in the north of Italy. But unfortunately, as soon as they have been dropped, they have been taken away and shot. But before they left, our custom is to ask them to write a letter. First of all, I warned them, what happened? We don't recognize, if you are caught, we don't recognize you, we don't know who you are, we have nothing to do neither now or after your family, you have nothing to do with them. That is our policy. I opened the box of one of them, Tanya, and it was a letter, small things he left. Said, my mother has been awful. I have never known her in my life. But this old lady in such place near Rome has been my mother. If I have anything for me, give it to her. But my mother, keep her away. Then he was shot. When we arrived, Rome was liberated and everything. I was there. I went to see the lady, old lady. When she saw me, she was frightened. I told her the truth. You know, we gave her 500,000 lire in spite of our promise. And I told her, don't tell anybody about it. Few days later, a woman came, lipstick red and very. I want to see Capitan. The sergeant told me, there is a lady who wants to see you. Yes, what do you? To me, I am mother of Tanya. Who is Tanya? Told me, yes, you know. No, we don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. She was crying. At last, when she saw that I want to, she told me, I will go to the Communist Party and I will do something against you. Da, 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 da. Then I didn't think because I went to see. It's too early. I tell you later. This, right.
So your operations in Italy, these were getting going?
Yes. I was still in Tunisia at that time. But later when I arrived in Rome, but leave it that. We talk it later. Then from Tunisia, one day, they told me that there was a certain French from the Foreign Legion who deserted. He was in Algiers. I went to see him. He was Jewish from Trieste. Then he told me the story. He told me he was a submarine, Italian submarine. He was caught. When he was caught, he enlisted with the Foreign Legion. He hated that. He deserted. He was ready to do anything. I am Jewish. I am against the fascist and the German. His name was Levy. He was really very good. Then I took him with me in Tunis, and Captain Page and myself, we worked on him, we taught him many things, and we sent him behind the lines by parachute. From there, Naples was almost liberated. At the age of, believe it, it was 23rd of October 1943, I think. Then with Spano, it has been decided that with Spano we go to Naples together. We went to Naples. We landed at Monte Corvino, suburb of, and we had to hitchhike to Naples. When we arrived in Naples, the head of the Communist Party at that time was a certain Eugenio Reale, who was a very, very nice man. I couldn't believe he was a communist. I told him, I used to call him Jesus. I said, how is it possible a man like you is communist? He was laughing. He was a doctor from a rich family. Then we started. Then I requisitioned a flat where I had been living with Spano for since October and in May, in the same flat together.
Would this have been after Italy had surrendered?
Not yet.
No. Italy was
Naples,
still at war.
Naples, yes, still at war. Still at war. Rome was still occupied. But Naples had been liberated when we arrived. Just we arrived when it was liberated. Then we were having together, and Spano became a head man, big man. I obtained for him a pass from the army with his photograph on the name of Rosso. Then one night he told me, you know, at that time I didn't look after politics at all. My aim was to collect, to recruit Italian to send behind the lines as our arrangement. I had nothing to do with the politics. One night he asked me, he told me, can I have for dinner Reale and Marrone? Two Italian communists, yeah, of course. And we became very friendly. I became very friendly with all Italians. They knew that I had nothing to do with politics. They used to talk freely. Spano was furious with the two Italians. I can't understand. At that time, Churchill made a speech on February. In his speech, he said that all Italians should follow Badoglio and the king. The Italian anti-fascists were furious, they hated Badoglio, they hated the king, and mainly the communists. Spano was absolutely out of himself. Then in the middle of dinner, he said, I'm going to see the leader of the other party, because there were many Italian, Liberal Party, Partito d'Azione, Socialist Party, he was communist. He came back about an hour and a half later, very happy, told me, I convinced them to do a strike on the 4th of March, 3 or 4 days later. I didn't care. Following morning, I was in the office, because at that time we had an office. My boss was a certain Major Ashford Russell. Talking with him, I told him, it's very funny, yesterday at dinner, Spano invited two other Reale, and he left, he was furious. They have decided for a strike. An hour later, a telephone call from Caccia, who now is Lord Caccia. He was the counselor of General MacFarlane, who was the head of Naples. He wanted to see me quick. I went to see him. He told me, tell me the story about the strike. I told him yesterday at dinner, they were talking. He left, Spano left, he came back about an hour later. He said that they have decided for a strike for the 4th of March. He told me, I would like to see him. Could you bring him? I told him, all right. I went home, I saw Spano, I told him, you know, Caccia would like to see you. He told me, haha, fascist like the others, you know, he was scorning. We went to see Caccia. Then Caccia told him, you must finish with this. He told him, no, we must. Then he handed him a letter by which it was said that if they don't stop the strike, they will have to subir, to suffer consequences. That means go to jail. Spano was a very courageous man. He was impossible. He was very strong-minded. He told him, I don't care. I have been to jail several times with fascists. Once with the English fascist, it doesn't matter. We don't. In any case, I promise you to give this letter to the other leaders. I was there when he gave it to the other leaders. I saw that the other leaders were not very happy about it. Mainly, certainly, Zadri, whose real name was Longobardi. He was from the Socialist Party. I was very friendly with all these people. I was very friendly with them. Then when we came back home, Major Ashford Russell told me, you know, General McFarlin, absolutely we must stop that strike. They have received instruction from London at all costs to have